A very good evening to you all, dear brothers in Christ. So, we thank our Lord for giving this opportunity today to take some time to discuss His wonderful words of life. Today, we're going to see what is the meaning of church in the Bible. So, generally, church means what? You see, church means a building. You see, it should be having a cross on it. And some people have thought that the church should have a bell also. And there should be a particular, you see, construction of a church. It will be like this shape. You see, so generally thought is that that is the church. And there is a particular, you see, benches where everybody are seated. So this is the thought about the church. So church means a building. So therefore, when Christians casually speak, they tell which church you're going. You see, which church you're going means what? Which place you're going. You see, that means the building is the church. Therefore, the people reply, I'm going to St. Basilica's church. I'm going to Infant Jesus Church. I'm going to full gospel, you see, church. So there are various, interpretations, various things. Everybody believes that this is the church. You see, church means a building, you see. Okay. Now, was there any church in the days of Moses? If we put a question, what does the Bible say? Let us read Acts 7:38. Acts 7 chapter verse 38. Stephen, brother, can you read Acts 7:38, brother?
He was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, and he received living words to pass on to us.
You see, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness. So here it says the church was in the wilderness. How can there be a church in the desert where the people of Israel traveled and came to the promised land? You see, how can there be a church in the wilderness? So that too, when they came from Mount Sinai in that parched land, was there a building? Was there a cross on top of the building? You see, well, the Bible says there was church in the wilderness. So how can the church be in the wilderness? Okay. Let us read Acts 8:1. Acts 8:1. Sai Jibudar, can you read Acts 8:1?
And Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria.
Thank you, brother. So it says there was a great persecution against the church. You see, there was a great persecution against the church, sir. Apostle Paul actually persecuted the church. So what did he actually persecute? Did he persecute the building? You see? Did he persecute the construction? You see? The church? You see? So what is the meaning of church? You see? Did he go and, hit the buildings, the walls of the churches? So what did he do? So, general idea is that, you see, the church is a building, isn't it? You see? Well, let us read one more verse, Romans 16:5. Abhishek Bhattar, can you read Romans 16:5?
Yes. Hello.
Romans 16:5, brother.
Okay. Like Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ.
Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Here it says, the church was inside their house. You see? Now, if a church is a building, you see, with a particular structure and a cross on it and all, you see, if that itself is so huge, you see, then how can that be inside somebody's house? The verse clearly says, the church that is in their house. So, these verses clearly puts a question in our mind, saying, what is the meaning of the church in the Bible? Dear brethren, in the Bible, you see, the church is not at all a building. You see, it's never the building. It's not at all a building with a particular shape, size, and all these things. No, that's not the what the scripture says. You see? But then what is the meaning of the church as per the Bible? The word church comes from the Greek word that is called as ecclesia. And ecclesia in Greek never means a building, but it actually means a group of called out ones. A group of people who are called out of the world to live in Christ. This is the meaning of the word ecclesia, and this is the word that has been translated as church in English in our Bible. Let us read 1 Corinthians 1:2. Emmanuel brother, can you read 1 Corinthians 1:2?
Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:2. Paul called to be the apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brothers Sosthenes.
1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, 2nd verse, brother.
Second verse. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours.
Thank you, brother. See here, the definition of the word church is given in the Bible itself. Apostle Paul is greeting the church of God, which is at Corinthians. And while addressing, what does he give the explanation for the church at Corinthians? He says, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be what? Called to be saints. With all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. The meaning of church in the Bible is this, that they are the group of sanctified ones in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. This is the actual meaning of the word church. You see, the word sanctified is the same thing that is translated as saints. So the church means actually is not the building, but is the group of people who are called to live a sanctified, a holy life. Therefore, we see in the days of Moses in Acts 7 chapter, there was a church in the wilderness with water. In the wilderness, who was there? It was God's people, Israel, were called out of Egypt to live a separate life in God. And Apostle Paul persecuted the church in Jerusalem. Means what? Did he persecute the building? Did he demolish the wall? No. He actually, you see, persecuted the people, God's children, God's people, isn't it? And similarly, therefore, we read that the church that was in their house, Apostle Paul greeted them. The church is their house. So, it was actually a group of people who were gathering in their house. Actually, initially when the church, you see, began to develop after the Pentecost, many believers began to come into Christ. So what happened? You see, the gathering began to develop. So the people began to gather in the houses. You see, initially they were gathering in the houses because Jerusalem was a city, and that city, a lot of Christians were there, you see. And they did not have a common gathering place, but they all gathered in small, small places, in their houses, you see. So, in their houses only, you see, they were gathering, you see. And that was called as the church. Not that the building or the place were called a church. The people who were gathering there, they were considered as a church. But you know, dear brethren, this idea about the church is a building. It actually began during the Dark Ages, during the days of Constantine, the Roman Emperor. You see, he got converted to Christianity for benefits, not for really love on Christ. You see, as he got converted to Christianity, he offered the whole Roman citizens to get converted to Christianity. And if they get converted, they would be paid well, they would get good jobs, they would be given land, you see, marriage would be conducted. All the things the emperor will take place, you see, the emperor would take care of the entire thing, you see. Hence, many people got converted, not because of love of Christ, no, not because of love of truth. They did not know the Bible at all, you see. So what happened? Huge gathering began to come. Once when the huge gathering began to come, the place was not sufficient to gather in the house. So then what happened? They began to gather in a common place. You see, at that common place, the king built it. Imagine if a king builds a common place for gathering, can he build a small hut or house? He, according to his standard, began to build big, big churches, cathedrals. That is the time the word cathedrals was given to the church. Big, very big, like palaces. You see, all the things completely taken care of the king. What happened? There the thought began to come that the church means what? Church means building, not the people. So since that time, church. People tell, no, I go to this church, I go to that church. Forget about going to that church. You should be church. That is what the Bible says. You see? So who are the church? If you see, the Christians are the church. You see? See? The Christians, those are called the church. You see, the church of God. Now who is a Christian? If you see, a Christian was one who, if smote on one cheek, would turn other cheek. That was actually a true Christian as per the Bible. But today, what has happened? A Christian is the one who is very stubborn, you see, and who is very adamant, you see, who has his own ways, you see, a worldly way, you see. Seek the Lord only for money and benefit, nothing else, you see. They drink, they enjoy in the world, you see. They smoke. Today they marry, tomorrow they are divorced. And day after tomorrow, again, they marry another person. They wear clothes which are not accepted in the Bible at all. You see, these are the Christians today. You see, the original meaning of the Christians is totally gone today, dear brethren. So, hence, if you see Christians, if you tell that we are Christians, everybody will look low. Why? Because Christians means this has become a very... you see, a bad impression is there because they commit all sorts of sin. Okay, nobody is there to ask them. They don't have fear upon God also. They can now do all sins and go and confess it to the Father and go and confess it to God. All their sins will be forgiven. So daily sin, daily commit sin and daily ask forgiveness. So hence what has happened? Christians means they're indisciplined people. Therefore, if somebody asks, oh, you're Christian now, means what they will tell? What's so special about Christianity? Isn't it different? So what has happened? The real identity of Christian is gone. You see? And today, what has happened? If somebody meets a real, a genuine Christian, people tell, oh, you are a true Christian. That means what? False Christians are only there in the world. No true Christians only. It's only composed of false Christians. Just carry the Bible, go to the church, you see, and come back without even understanding the truth. You see? Hence, today, you see, dear brethren, what has happened? The idea of conversion has come through this and these incidents only. You see, they ask them, oh, you got converted, how much they gave you? Because that is the way it was originally happening. So, Christians today have become very, you see, a bad name among society, if we can say. You see, like, you see, there are more number of Christians in jail than other people, you see. And any villain role in the film, which is offered to whom? It is offered to a Christian, Danny, Lily, Robert, Peter. All these famous names of Christian names. These are all, this is the role of villain. Why? Because the Christianity itself is becoming that. The true identity of Christian itself is gone. The false Christians are highlighted and they think this is itself is Christianity, dear brethren. This is the church that God believes. So today, we are going to see what the Bible says about Christianity, about the true church. You see, dear brethren, this is God's plan for the entire mankind. You see, so we are going to study in detail in coming days. But here you can see, there is a portion called as A. That's the first dispensation. That means the first world. Remember, we have studied the subject about the three worlds. This is the first world. Beginning from the creation of Adam to the flood. This is the first world. And since the flood, till the second coming of Jesus, this is called as the second world. And after it is going to come the thousand-year reign of Christ. That is called as the third world. Okay. Now, if you see on this chart, there is a pyramid that is called as A. And it is standing upon plane N. Now, what does plane N represent? N in God's plan represents perfection. You see, the perfect stage of mankind. When he was created, this pyramid represents Adam. Only man Adam was created in God's image. You see? And he was perfect in God's sight. He was having a proper standing, you see, before God. And therefore, see, that represents whom? Adam, you see. And when Adam sinned, he lost that perfection. You can see the pyramid, the top head, you see. That structure, that itself is gone. And it's become an imperfect structure and come down to plane R. Now, what is plane R? Devdren, you see, plane R actually represents the plane of death. You see, it's fallen into the plane of death. You see, and through Adam, this pyramid is small, you can see here. But here, this pyramid is what? It's very big here. You see, what does that represent? That represents. You see, when Adam was created, he was alone. You see, he was the only one who was perfect. But his generation who have fallen to sin are very great in number. You see, they increased in number. But they're all under the condition of death. They are not born in the perfection stage where, you see, Adam was. Okay. Now, you can see here one more pyramid. You see, that pyramid represents our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, you see, he came on the perfect plane, you see, without a sin, holy, harmless, separate from sinners, you see. Dear brethren, so that was, you see, Jesus at the perfect level. So if somebody believes in Jesus, what happens? Their sins are forgiven. They are restored back to their perfection, you see, in which Adam was created. Only by faith, not by real, literally they are restored. Hence, we will now zoom it up and come to the gospel age. Because the church is at the, you see, gospel age. Okay. Now, if you see here, in this gospel age, you see, there is a plenian and there is a, you see, a group which are composed of Q, P, M, and N. Who are these? If you see, these are the different types of Christians in this world today. So, this church is there, but this church again doesn't have a head. It's not perfect because who is head of the church? If you see, it is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. You see, he is in heaven. He is head of the church. You see? So, here, if you see, you can see first group of people, that is section Q. They are attached to plane N, but not above it, they are below it. So, plane N, what did we see? It's a plane of perfection. But they are not above the perfection. They are not completely justified. They are below plane N. That means, when compared to the world, they are much better. But they are not, you see, justified. They are not perfect before God. Now, who are these, if you see? These are called as the hypocrites. You see, these are the people who go to the church. But they don't believe that Jesus is their personal savior. Jesus died for their sins. Why? Because first of all, they don't realize that they're sinners. You see, they don't have real faith on Jesus. They don't believe in the Bible. You see, they worship and believe other gods also along with Jesus. They think that like other gods are there, so many thousands of gods. Are there. Jesus is also one of the gods like that. And they speak lightly about Jesus. They don't have so much of faith and trust on the Lord. And neither in the virgin birth of Jesus. You see, they believe in various other doctrines and theories which are outside the Bible. You see, like evolution. You see, whenever there is a Mary festival, they go for, you see, Mary festival. Whenever there is a Mari festival, they go for the Mari festival also. So these are the people who believe both, you see, other gods and Jesus also. But they don't believe Jesus is a personal savior. So they're not justified. Their sins are not forgiven and they haven't come to the perfection stage. But when compared to the world, they're much better. The world is so down. But compared to the world, at least they have a little bit of faith in the Lord and they come a little bit closer. Hence, these are called as hypocrites, disguised Christians, not completely justified in Jesus' blood. So, okay. This is the Q. But above Q, there's a very big portion called as P. You see, they are above plane N, not attached to plane N, but they are above. Who are these? If you see, these are very good believers, dear brethren. You see, they believe in Jesus. You see, they are Christians who go to the church, believe in Jesus, that Jesus died for the sins. Jesus is their personal savior. You see, have faith on Jesus, believe in Jesus. You see, they have repented from sin. You see, they have repented from sin. They don't want to sin. You see, they have turned to the Lord. They praise him, they sing praises to him, they sing songs to him. You see, they attend the cottage meetings. They attend various other meetings wherever the Bible is preached. And they give offerings to the Lord. You see, but they have their own ambitions. You see, they want a comfortable life. They want a rich life. They want all the blessings from the Lord. They want that the Lord will bless all their, work. Abundantly, so they may be very rich and have a, you see, comfortable life. They don't do anything for the Lord. You see, they just give offerings. That's all. You see, but you see, they want the Lord to protect them. They want the Lord to hear their prayers. You see, but they don't even try to achieve what actually the Lord wants them to be as per the scriptures. You see, they want Jesus to fulfill all their desires, bless them, solve all their problems, but they don't sacrifice. You see, they want everything from the Lord, but what they're doing for the Lord, you see, nothing. They don't offer, you see, anything. They don't sacrifice for the Lord. You see, they don't take any risk for Christ's sake. You see, they avoid sinning, they avoid speaking bad words, they avoid seeing movies, cinema, TV, all those things. They try to live a godly life, but just by giving away sin, just by trying to live a godly life, does it make one to be, you see, a Christian? You see, dear brethren, no. As per the Bible, no. Because many people try to give up sin, you see, in the Bible, like in the Old Testament. You see, so many faithful warriors were there. They try to give up sin. And even today also, so many people go and live in the remote places to avoid sin. You see, but does it mean that they are, you see, the true Christians? No, dear brethren. These are the Christians who have faith. But the faith is not accompanied with the work at all. What does James say? Faith without work is dead. You see, so similarly, their, you see, work in action, working out the salvation is nearly dead. Jesus, when he did his ministry at the first advent, so many people came behind him. The Bible says thousands, thousands came. Everybody trampled one upon another. Read Luke 12:1. Stephen, brother, can you read Luke 12:1?
In the meantime, when they were gathered together in an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon the another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy. You see, so many people were gathering, innumerable multitude of people. It's so much that they trod one upon another, dear brethren. Imagine, you see, if there is a gospel meeting today, how many people will come? Thousands, thousands will come. One stamping upon another. There won't be space at all. You see, such a huge crowd, you see, they come. Same way, during the days of Jesus, who all came with him, sir? Huh? Thousands, thousands came, trampling upon one another. You see, Jesus must be really happy, no? Why? Thousands of people are following him. You see, if today if somebody is following on YouTube or Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, million followers. You see, they feel happy, no? They're very much happy. So similarly, Jesus also should have felt happy, no? Thousands of people are following him, no? Huh? Correct, no? But why did the people follow? If you see, so many people, so many time, Jesus didn't have time to even eat also. You see, many people were following. You see, him, is it? Crowd gathered together. Crowds, you see, thousands were following. But we see in the Bible that the entire city also was gathered. You see, we can note on these verses, Mark 6:31 and Mark 1:33. You see, so many people were gathering, one trample upon each other. You see, entire city was at the door. Okay. But did Jesus believe these people? That is the main question. So we might call ourselves as Christians, but the matter, very, very important, is that not that we should call And we are Christians, we are followers of Jesus. Jesus should confirm that. Jesus should tell us that we are the disciples of Jesus. Read what Jesus actually told. John 2, 23 to 25. Saiji Buddha, can you read John 2, 23 to 25?
Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus could not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people.
Okay, so here you see, when at the Jerusalem during the Passover, what happened to himself? Many believed in Jesus' name. Underline, many believed. So who are these people? These are good believers. Very, very good believers. They all believed in Jesus. Even as today, the whole Christianity is, they tell them, we are good believers. We are good believers. Yes, they are all good believers. They all believed. Even in Jesus' days, thousands trampled upon each other and believed in Jesus. Why did they believe? Huh? What does the Bible say? When they saw the miracles which he did. Because of the miracles, because of the benefits, they believed in Jesus. But did Jesus believe them? Huh? Did Jesus believe them? Read verse 25, brother. Huh?
He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person.
But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Though they believed Jesus, Jesus did not believe them. You see, that is very important. No, Jesus should believe us. Jesus should trust us. But he did not believe such a huge crowd. Why? He knew all men. They're all coming only for benefit. He knew Jesus very well knew. You see, dear brethren. Therefore, Jesus did not believe them. So, just being a believer is not sufficient, dear brethren. Very clearly, the Bible says just believing is not at all sufficient. Then what should we do? The same thing Jesus told once to the huge crowd. See, once what happened? Huge crowd would be following Jesus. Thousands. Immediately, Jesus stood. Turn back to the crowd and told the terms and conditions. Read Luke 14, 25 to 27. Abhishek Buddhar, can you read Luke 14, 25 to 27?
I am eating rice.
Emmanuel Buddhar, can you read Buddhar?
Okay, Luke chapter 14, 25 to 27. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple.
See, what is the terms of disciple? First of all, becoming a disciple is very important. Then next thing is going to heaven. You see, what does the Bible say? So great multitude, when you are coming, Jesus turned to them and said, turned to whom? The believers crowd, and said, if any man wants to come behind me and follow me, what he has to do? He had to hate his father, mother, brother, sisters, husband, wife, children, his own life. What is the meaning of hate? Brother, what brother you are telling to hate? Actually, hate is not the proper translation here. Loveless. First thing important should be given is to for what? For our Lord, our God important should be given. That is the meaning. You see, he that doesn't love me more than father, mother, brother, sisters, husband, wife, your own children, he can't be my disciple. See, father, mother, it's very easy, because once they become old, they will sent to the home for the age. Brother, sister, they will get married and they will get separated. Now, the great difficulty is wife and children. They can't do it now. They can't leave it. You see? But, and your own life. That means what? You see? Whenever there is a important work for us, But at that time, if there is a Bible study, to whom would we give preference? Would we give preference to Word of God, the class, or do we give preference to the worldly activities? If there is a marriage, if there is a birthday, if there is a function, you see, if we are giving importance to those things than the classes, it means that we are loving the world more than the Lord. The preference should be given to whom? First to Christ. That's what he says. He that doesn't love me more than all this, he cannot be my disciple. Then what does he say? He that doesn't bear his cross, come after me, can't be my disciple. First thing is that deny yourself. We all got our selfish aims, ambitions, everything, dear brethren. You see, there's nothing wrong in having all these things, but these has to be denied for Christ's sake. These ads should be denied for God's sake, for the truth's sake. You see, then take up the cross means what? Take up the risk. Take up the responsibility, you see, for Christ's sake. And come after me. Follow the footsteps of Jesus. Then only we can be his disciples. Or else you cannot be his disciple. That means just by being a believer, it is of no use at all. That's what Jesus says. You cannot be my disciple. Now we need to think whether we need to be the disciple of Jesus or just a good believer. Deny ourselves. Carry the cross and follow Jesus. Not literal cross. Put a dollar or put a cross on the cloth and gown and walk. You see, not literal cross. Cross means what? Responsibility. Suffering, sir. You see, pain, for Christ's sake, dear brethren. Some people misunderstand this one thing. Oh, brother, then we should go for the village and do village ministry. We should go and build a home for the aged. We should go and build orphanages. We should go and give food to the poor, you see, and take care of the school, poor school kids, you see. Is this, and build hospitals. Is this the sacrifice? This is not sacrifice, dear brethren. Jesus never did these things. Did Jesus build any hospital? Did Jesus build any school? Did Jesus do any social work? No. Did Jesus go for the home for the age home? Or did he go to any jail? There was jail in his days. He did not go to the jail and preach to the prisoners. This is not NGO activity. This is not following Christ. You see, this is not at all what Bible says. You see, we need to go one step ahead. What is the step? You see, then we need to see what actually Jesus did. If we see what Jesus did, then it is the same thing that we need to do it now. You know, just see this screen. See here, Jesus is there. You see, Jesus, okay? Jesus was born on this plane, a plane of perfection. He had no imperfection. God would hear his prayers. He had fellowship with God. You see, while we are sinners, we don't have any fellowship with God. But when Jesus took baptism in River Jordan, when he consecrated, what happened? He came a little bit higher. You see, he came a little bit higher to the plane M. What is the plane M? The plane M is a plane of consecration where he offered himself as a living sacrifice to God to do Lord's will. He was willing to die for God. That is the step. That is the stage we need to come. Because we are called to follow the footsteps of Jesus. If Jesus has taken that step, we need to do the same thing. You see, imagine Jesus was a perfect man. He was sinless. He had all the authority like a perfect Adam had, isn't it? So he could have lived a comfortable life. Jesus had to die, no? He could have lived and enjoyed a comfortable life without committing sin. And at the last moment, he could have just breathed his breath and left his life and died. That would have been a ransom. But that would have not given us a good example of a master. You see, he could have done good business, earned a lot of money, isn't it? He could have done it. Who is Jesus? You see, Jesus was wiser than Solomon. Solomon day, the Bible says, the gold, it was treated like stone. There was so much of gold abundance. The value was so less. If Jesus was so wiser than Solomon, means in Solomon days only 40 years there was no war. If Jesus had used all his talents, you see, he could have ruled over this world even till today. He could have acquired the entire world. Forget about Ambani or Bill Gates. He would have been the richest person. You see, but did Jesus do that one? No. Why? Because that was not God's will. Satan suggested the same thing. You please worship me, I'll give you entire world. Did Jesus accept? No. Because God wanted him to offer his body as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice is preference. Sacrifice is, you see, his own thoughts and everything. Why? To do the Lord's will. You see, dear brethren. So Jesus, you see, took the step. And that step, you see, is offering himself as a sacrifice. Read Hebrews 10 chapter verses 5 to 7, brother.
Can I?
Please, brother. Stephen, please.
Hebrews 10 verses 6 to 7, or 5 to 7, okay. Mm. Therefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin as thou hast no pleasure. Thou then said, I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me.
Ah.
To do thy will, O God.
Very good, brother. See, what does he say? God doesn't want sacrifice of bulls and goats, but God had prepared a body for Jesus. And that had to be laid on God's altar as a burnt offering. He says, no, lo, I come. In the volume of book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus came to this earth, offered his body as a living sacrifice to do what? God's will, not his own will. You see, having his own will and doing all the things to fulfill those wills. No. Jesus came to this earth to do God's will. Similarly, we need to do the same thing. Read Romans 12:1, brother. Romans 12:1. Emmanuel, brother, can you read Romans 12:1?
Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Brethren means what? The believers. Apostle Paul is requesting the believers, brothers, believers, I'm telling you, by putting the mercies of God, what is the mercy of God? First of all, we are sinners. You see, there was no obligation that God should save us from death. But here he has been abundantly merciful. He has forgiven all our sins, given us the robe of righteousness, and called us to be of the heavenly salvation, next to him, to sit next to him, to be like his son. This is the mercy of God. He is putting the mercy of God and saying, just don't be like that one. Just don't be like a believer. Come forward. Come one step forward. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That means what? Even as you are staying alive, you see, you need to live a life of sacrifice to do the Lord's will. You see, so, dear brethren, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. To do whose will? Sacrifice to do God's will. And it says, holy and acceptable to God. You don't sacrifice which is very cheap things to God. The sacrifice of things which is holy, acceptable to God. Accept. God should be able to accept it. Because Cain and Abel both offered the sacrifices. But whom sacrifice did God accept? It was only Abel's. Why? Cain did not offer it in a proper spirit. You see, if he would have done it in the right way, he would have been accepted. But here, you see, dear brethren, that was not the case. Therefore, what does it say? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, holy, acceptable to God. Read it once again, brother.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is a true and proper worship.
Thank you, brother. Sorry. So it says, which is a reasonable service. You see, what God is giving us, a precious reward, compared to that one, you see, what we are giving our body, a waste body, first of all, is dead body. You see, what is that one? It is just a reasonable service. It's of no use at all, dear brethren. But then God is saying, this is a very small thing. This is a step of a believer. Offering your body as a sacrifice means what? You see? Sacrifice means, you know what? Sacrifice means giving our preference to God. You see? Imagine, we all have a preference of ourselves, no? You see? We all want to live a luxurious life, very happy life, comfortable life, always want our wills to be done. You see? But for Christ's sake, we deny that one. For truth's sake, we don't do that one. That is sacrifice. Like, for example, imagine if there's a lot of trouble in the family. What do? The parents sometimes, even if they don't have food for themselves, they sacrifice their food for the sake of children. That is called a sacrifice, dear brethren. That which is our right, that one, we're leaving it for God's sake. That one, we're giving it for Christ's sake. You see, that is called as sacrifice. You see, dear brethren, like for example, imagine if we want to travel some place, you see, and if it cost 5,000 rupees to travel by flight, and if it cost 3,000 rupees to travel by train, and if it cost 1,000 rupees to travel by a bus, now what would a person who is a real Christian, who is called to offer sacrifice, you see, what does he think? He has got his own luxury. He has got his own right. He can sacrifice whatever he wants. You see, he can enjoy whatever he wants also. That is his right, isn't it? Like, for example, he has got his own liberty to go in a flight, have a comfortable journey and come back. It is his own 5,000 rupees. There's nothing wrong in it. For a natural man, this is absolutely correct. But for a spiritual man, what would he think? I am a disciple of Jesus. Instead of living a comfortable life, I can sacrifice myself and go by bus. And thus, I'll be saving around 4,000 rupees. And that 4,000 rupees, I can use it in the Lord's service. That is something we call as sacrifice, dear brethren. You see, letting out our preferences. You see, letting out our desire. That's what Jesus says. If any man wants to be a disciple, first thing you do is that deny yourself. You see, deny. Deny yourself. Next thing, carry the cross. Third thing, follow me. You see? So this thing, who does, these are the real Christians. Therefore, in the chart, if you see, there's a group, you see, a big group. Who is the big group? Those are the called ones, the believers. They're good believers. They don't do anything for the Lord. I think by just giving money, going to Sunday to the church, that's a great thing. That is not a great thing. That is not doing anything for the Lord at all. That is your obligation that you must do. There's nothing great that you're doing. Going beyond this one is this group, the chosen group. You see, they were called and the chosen. You see, then. So read Matthew 22:14. Matthew 22:14. Abhishek, brother, you're there?
Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen.
Abhishek brother, please read. Okay. Shaiji brother, can you read, brother?
Yes. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Brother, am I audible?
Shaiji brother?
Some audio problem, brother.
Okay. Stephen brother, can you read?
Hello.
Brother, you are clear, Shaiji brother.
For many are invited, but few are chosen.
Very good, brother. You see, many are invited. Very good. Many are called. Called for what? To believe in Jesus. But it is only few people who are chosen. Now, the question is that whether we want to be a good believer or whether we want to be a good follower. You see? So, the decision is ours. You see? Now, who is a true Christian? You see? Not one who believes in Jesus. But that's the first step. You see? The next step is that you need to follow Jesus. Be the faithful followers of Jesus. Jesus did one miracle. You see, once when he was coming to Jerusalem, on the way, you see, he met 10 lepers. You see, so he had 10 lepers, and 10 lepers who saw him from a very far, crowd, they cried, saying, "Master, have mercy on us, O Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus told them, "Go and show it to the high priest. Your leprosy shall be cured." You see? Then as they went, what happened? Their leprosy was cured. Let us read Luke 17 chapter. Emmanuel brother, you are there online? Can you read Luke 17 chapter?
Luke 17 chapter, brother.
Luke 14th 17. Verse.
When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9?
See?
Yeah, he knew one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 18th verse. Has no one returned to give praise to God except this forgiveness?
You see, what has happened? 10 people were cleansed. How were they cleansed? You read that verse carefully. You see, it says verse 14, as they went, they were cleansed. Imagine their leprosy and all, it would have completely eaten their muscles, bones, everything. But suddenly, as they were walking, immediately within seconds, everything became all right. The skin became very clear, so beautiful, so happy. They could feel that energy from inside. The sickness gone. Imagine such a condition. At least somebody, everybody will come, no? Come back to the Lord and say thanks. Imagine if you have our disease, a deadly disease like cancer or AIDS or something is cured by a doctor. What will we do? Immediately run to the doctor and say, we'll show gratitude, you see. Honor him. But here, only one person came back, it seems. That he was a Samaritan, not even a Jew. Jesus questioned, is there nobody else than this stranger to come and honor? This is the condition of today, dear brethren. So who are the church? Think. You see, now we need to be which part of the church? You see, whether we need to be just a believer, you see, in our sight, in God's sight, but that doesn't make any real use for our salvation. That is the first step. But do we need to go one more step? Yes. Isn't it, dear brethren? Is just believing in Jesus sufficient? No. We need to go one more step, and that step is a faithful follower of Jesus. Okay? So this is the true church. We are going to continue this class for another, you see, 2-3 weeks. So anybody has got any questions, any doubts, you can ask. Anybody, any doubts, any questions, you can ask, brother. Anybody has got any questions? Saji brother, any questions?
No, brother.
Okay. Were you able to follow, understand it?
Yes, brother. I think. But the only thing, it will be good if I get the PDF file for previous classes, like what I received for tabernacle.
Okay. I'll do that, brother. I'll definitely send you the PDF also. Okay. Abhishek brother, you're there? Any doubts, any questions?
Yes.
Tell brother.
It has been 2000 years that Jesus Christ went to supreme heaven. When will he come?
When will he come? We will see when he is going to come back. So all those things will come stage by stage. But before those things, did you really follow today's subject? Did you understand it?
No.
So you are quite busy.
I was eating rice.